ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
This morning we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, entitled The Elephant Ganjendra's Crisis, Text 19. Malika. Shatapatraish cha madavin jalakadibi shobitam tira jaish chanyair nityartubhi alam drumai. Malika Shatapatraisha, Malika Shatrapatraisha, Madhavi Jalakadbihi, Madhavi Jalakadbihi, Shobitam Tirajaischanyair. Shobitam tirajaischanyair nityartubhir alam drumai nityartubhir alam drumai malika chatapatraischa madave jalakadbihi shobitam tirajaischanyair Nityartubhiralam drumai Malika Shatapatraischa Madhavi Jalakadbihi Shobitam Tirajaischanyair Nityartubhiralam drumai Malika Shatapatraischa Madhavi Jalakadbihi Shobitam Tirajaischanyair Nityardubiralam Drumai.
Thank you.
మల్లికాశ్వతస్వశ్చ మాతాజీ మాళికాస్ శతపత్రస్ చ ఆల్సో మాధవీ జలకద్భి జాలకాస్ శోభితం అడోర్న్డ్ ధీరజై గ్రోయింగ్ ఆన్ ద బ్యాంక్స్ చ అండ్ అన్యై అదర్స్ నిత్య ఋతుభి ఇన్ ఆల్ సీజన్స్ అలం అబ్యూడెంట్లీ ద్రుమైహి విత్ ట్రీస్ బేరింగ్ ఫ్లవర్స్ అండ్ ఫ్రూట్స్ ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ అండ్ ప్రిపర్డ్ బై హిస్ డివైన్ గ్రేస్ ఎస్సీ భక్తివేదాంత స్వామి శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద్ ఇన్ దట్ గార్డెన్ దేర్ వాజ్ ఎ వెరీ లార్జ్ లేక్ ఫిల్డ్ విత్ షైనింగ్ గోల్డెన్ లోటస్ ఫ్లవర్స్ అండ్ ద ఫ్లవర్స్ నోన్ ఎస్ కుముద కల్హర ఉత్పల అండ్ శతపర విచ్ యాడెడ్ ఎక్సలెంట్ బ్యూటీ టు ద మౌంటన్ దేర్ వర్ ఆల్సో బిల్వ కపిత జబిర అండ్ భాలతక ట్రీస్ ఇంటాక్సికేటెడ్ బంబుల్ బీస్ డ్రంక్ హనీ అండ్ హమ్ with the tripping of the birds whose songs were very very melodious. The lake was crowded with swans, karandavas, chakravakas, cranes and flocks of water chickens, datyuhas, koyashtis and other murmuring birds. Because of the agitating movements of the fish and tortoises, the water was decorated with pollen that had fallen from the lotus flowers. The lake was surrounded by kadamba flowers, vetasa flowers, nalas, nipas, vanjulakas, kundas, kurubakas, ashokas, shirishas, kutajas, ingudas, kubjakas, swarnayutis, nagas, punnagas, jatis, malikas, shatapatras, Jalakas and Madhavilatas. The banks were also abundantly adorned with varieties of trees that yielded flowers and fruits in all seasons. Thus, the entire mountain stood gloriously decorated. Purport. Judging from the exhaustive description of the lakes and rivers on Trikuta Mountain, on earth there is no comparison to their super excellence. On other planets, however, there are many such wonders. For instance, we understand that there are 2 million different types of trees, and not all of them are exhibited on earth. Srimad Bhagavatam presents the total knowledge of the affairs of the universe. It not only describes this universe, but also takes into account the spiritual world beyond the universe. No one can challenge the Srimad Bhagavatam's description of the material and spiritual worlds. The attempts to go from the earth to the moon have failed, but the people of earth can understand what exists on other planets. There is no need of imagination. One may take actual knowledge from Srimad Bhagavatam and be satisfied. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaham. Namo Vishnu Paraya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nivishesha Shunyavari Paschatyade Shtarnam. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shosari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So Malika Shatapatvaischa Madhavi Jalakab Dbihim Shobitam Tirajaischan Yar Nityar Tubir Alam Drumai. Oh, well, anyway, there is this whole description of the different types of trees and flowers given in this verse, and we will just quickly read translation of verses 9 to 13, which don't have purport previously, that are mentioned here. So just quickly. In a valley of Trikuta mountain, there was a garden called Ritumat. This garden belonged to the great devotee Varuna and was a sporting place for the damsels of the demigods. Flowers and fruits grew there in all seasons. Among them were Mandaras, Parijatas, Patalas, Ashokas, Champakas, Chutas, Pialas, Panasas, Mangoes, Amaratakas, Karamukas, coconut trees, date trees, and pomegranates. There were Madukas, palm trees, Talasas, Asanas, Arjunas, Arishtas, Udumbaras, Plakshas, banyan trees, Kimshukas and sandalwood trees. There were also Pikumardas, Kovidaras, Saralas, Saradarus, grapes, sugarcane, bananas, jambu, Badaris, Akshas, Habayas, and Amalakis. And then we have our verses today that again describe the incredibly enchanting beauty of this garden, which is situated on the Jambudvipa island. Although through the description of the universal geography, we can understand that our planet is on the same Bhoo level in the exactly middle of the universe, and it is situated on the Bhumandala plane, but still our planet is not that exalted in the sense of material opulences as the rest of the places on the Bhumandala, on the whole Bhumandala plane, which if we, according to the description, can understand, it's just like some kind of chapati situated in the middle of the universe, like big chapati size, kind of, or disc, maybe for those a little, you know, more. That is just there in the middle of the universe, being supported by Anantashesha's hoods. So that the whole Bhumandala region is the region of the Upadevatas. That means half demigods who reside there on 9 islands and 7 oceans. That we know, sugarcane ocean, first it comes salty ocean, then you have sugarcane, liquor, and so on, dahi, then ghee, milk, and so on, sweet water. So there are seven of them, and then we have different greater regions that are one greater than the other by the same size that come in the sequence. And interestingly, how they came in such a sequence, it is because of the chariot of Priyavrata when he was riding around the sun. He recreated all these different oceans and divided the land into different nine sections because he had nine suns. So for those nine suns, he created the region to reign for them. So anyway, this whole region, now including the central Jambudvip, it's all basically place for the demigods. It's a demigod's playground. Like it said, this garden belonged to Varuna. So demigods have their sporting places there, but mostly it is inhabited by Upadevatas. And mostly all of them, they live up to 10,000 years in all those regions. So this is their span duration of life. And according to that, they all basically have facilities that would correspond or the time and let's say climate, the whole features that would be equivalent what is present here on this planet when there is a Treta Yuga going on. So it's kind of like a Treta Yuga description that happens here on our planet. But somehow or other, our planet, though being situated within the Bharatvarsha and within the this southern portion of the Jambudvip, it still doesn't have all those features like which they're described here within this region of the Jambudvip. It doesn't have. Maybe it has in Treta Yuga or Satya, even better. But as we know through the story of King Muchukunda, when things degrade, especially now in the Kali Yuga, and you know, reduce in the size, diminish. Therefore, in Kali Yuga, we have none of this, you know, perceptibly available. It's just not there. So we can't understand what does it mean when we read such kind of heavenly descriptions. We can at least understand that, you know, there it's the most wonderful features of the planet that can yield so many wonderful and attractive varieties for any kind of sensual enjoyment. That's what planet, the whole universe practically, can supply the living entities with. And even this planet definitely is capable of doing it, and we know through the story of Prithu Maharaj, can supply all kinds of seeds, can supply so many different kinds of varieties if people follow the Dharma. If people are pious, if people follow Varnashram Dharma, if people, you know, practice Krishna consciousness, then definitely there is no any question of any kind of scarcity and any kind of sensual experience. Of course, then related to Krishna. So there are all kinds of these varieties available within this rain, within this region of Bhumandala. And this is just, as it said, mostly like it for the Upadevatas. Then what can we say that is there, you know, for the demigods? That's even higher region. That's even higher. Bhuvar Svarga. And this Svarga region, we can't even conceive what could be available there. Just here, according to the descriptions, what kind of trees, flowers, fruits, you know, are available on the Svargaloka. Svar, basically, this planetary region, this is between the sun and the moon, and mostly it's inhabited by the subtle beings, like mostly yakshas, bhutas, rakshasas, so that's Svar. But even they have greater facility than what we have on our Bhu region. So, as we see, as the through the structure of the universe, the higher we go, the greater facilities are available to different living beings to enjoy any kind of sensual interaction with each other or within any kind of place that is there within the universe. Because as we know, each and every sensual experience, namely the smell, because here so many different flowers have been mentioned, and then the taste, and then the sight, just seeing, just if you would be, you know, like people here, mostly they think Kashmir is such a wonderful place, you know, like very beautiful. At least we have to go to Kashmir, there are different lakes and so many different mountains, you know, with the snow peaks and so on and so on. Well, yeah, some places are nice in Kashmir, but still there are some even more nicer places than Kashmir also in Europe. So it's like this. So it depends. Like Prabhupada said, he made a statement that the Swiss Alps are comparable to heavenly planets. Very beautiful regions. So anyway, that is the site. So all these different features are there to try to enhance, to invoke that sensual experience, to bring in the focus on certain sensual enjoyment. So like we know, when all the senses are, you know, focused more on some certain object, then the experience is also greater. You know, because through Bhagavad Gita, even one of the roaming senses, if it's not focused on what it's supposed to be focused, the whole, you know, focus is gone, it's lost. So when we practice spiritual life, we also try to focus all of our senses towards Krishna. And how do we do that? Of course, in relationships. Fragrances, sights, you know, sounds, taste, touch, everything in relationship to Krishna. So the features of the heavenly planets are such that actually all of those in some ways are related to Krishna, because Krishna is worshipped definitely, but most often the denizens of heaven are distracted by all these different opulences that are there. And they are definitely, they're pious, they're karma mishra bhaktas, because they do expect the fruits. They do expect enjoyment. They do expect some sensual satisfaction. And this is mostly their primary reason for practicing the Dharma. So this is there on the heavenly planets. And then further we go, Maharloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka, Brahmaloka. What to speak of Brahmaloka? Brahma has a palace. Just imagine, like this temple, it's so beautiful. But can you imagine that every day, you know, this temple would look a little bit different? That pillars would change the shape and color, and the floor maybe sometimes can be a little up and down and this and that. It just, every day it changes different, there are different features. So every time Brahma comes to his palace, you know, it's just different. It looks more gorgeous, more beautiful. Nothing is the same. So all these different descriptions that are there in the universe point out to incredible potency and beauty of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's just we can see, if these are descriptions that are available and here within this material universe, then, you know, what kind of this, you know, what kind of experience somebody can have when he goes to the spiritual world? It's just unimaginable. Of course, we have some of those descriptions, kalpavrikshas, trees and so on. You can get anything just by desiring. And nothing separates you from anything there in the spiritual world, because there is no time. There is no space. You know. Here there are so many descriptions of the flowers. Let's say in the spiritual world, if I want to pluck the champa flower, you know, I have to get up on the ladder and I have to stretch my hand and it takes time and it takes energy. There is a space separating me from this. In the spiritual world, champa flower, I can just by thinking it's just there, it's just here. It's present. So that's the big difference. So that's why we have all these different descriptions that point out to the superiority of the spiritual life. And that we don't get so entangled within this material creation. Although it is just incredible. And no wonder it is incredible, because it's Krishna's energy. It's Krishna's energy. Mama Maya Duratya. It's my wonderful energy that is so enchanting. But if we separate that energy from the energetic, then definitely we have to deal with Mahamaya then. And as Prabhupada would say, energy or Maya and Krishna, they go side by side.
just like a shadow, like a person and a shadow. As soon as you're not with Krishna, immediately, Prabhupada said, Maya would embrace. We heard that class. Maya would embrace. Immediately. Because if you're not with Krishna, then immediately you're with Maya. There's no other option. So that's why we have to be conscious of this wonderful descriptions of the spiritual world, so that we get attracted towards the spiritual realm, rather than being attracted and diverted from that by the description of the material world. Because here, of course, everybody is looking for such kind of circumstance where he wouldn't be exposed to any kind of adhyatmik, adibautik and adidaivik, and have just unlimited sensual experience. Everybody is looking for that. The whole endeavor, the whole modern nowadays civilization is aimed towards some kind of pleasurable existence. But we see there's such a great struggle to accomplish any of that. Such a great struggle, because we live in the worst of the ages also, namely the Kali one. And what to speak, you know, even just being on this planet. Of course, we may say that during the reign of Maharaj Yudhishthira, the circumstances were far more favorable, and of course we know that was the case because he was Krishna's devotee, not just because it was Dwapara Yuga. You know, it rained on time, you know, citizens were not disturbed, it was rained only at night, it was the pleasant, you know, seasons and the climate, there was no excess heat, no excess cold. Everything was so nice. But why was it so nice? Just so that citizens could focus on serving Krishna. That was the reason. Not just for their, you know, personal sense enjoyment, which most of the living beings are just focused upon. But then when we read these descriptions of the heavenly planets, or namely here, Jambudvipa and these wonderful regions, then definitely whoever reads those becomes attracted to those. And just by meditation, as we know, if you meditate upon anything, that state we will achieve in our next life. So that was the culture. And at least, like Krishna states in 3rd chapter of Bhagavad Gita, if nothing else, then, you know, the person is encouraged to worship the demigods. At least try to offer, you know, some kind of yajna, some kind of sacrifice, some kind of recognition of the goods or whatever, anything that comes to us, anything that is available, that the person is not termed as a thief. Because whoever doesn't do that, then Krishna says that person is a thief. It's just taking everything but not recognizing or giving anything in the return. So from that point of view, then Krishna encourages that. Of course, later on he very strongly condemns that in the 7th chapter. Alpamedasa, that such kind of worship is less intelligent. Yes, it's less intelligent because we see that all the demigods are ultimately dependent on the Lord, dependent on Krishna. So similarly, all these wonderful, attractive opulences and the features of heavenly planets, they're so insignificant in comparison to what is available in the spiritual world. So if you just get, you know, attracted by those, then we really miss something greater, far greater, that we can achieve, rather than just by being attracted by these descriptions of the heavenly realm. But as we know, that is the greatest danger. That is the greatest danger that for the living entity, if he is again not focused upon Krishna, as I said about a focus, when all the senses are, like when chant japa, we touch the mala, we hear, you know, we pronounce, and also if we can see the deity or maybe some painting or something, the focus is greater. The focus is greater by engaging all the senses. So therefore we have to learn, while practicing devotional life, how to focus on Krishna. Because if you're not focused on Krishna, if you're focused and just concerned with the sight, touch, smell and so on and so on and so on, and that loses its connection with Krishna, then we may miss the spiritual world. And that's why I said, when the person is liberated and it goes towards the spiritual world, he has to pass through the heavenly planets. If anybody is attracted by any kind of sights like this, he's gone. not going to reach the heaven. It's not going to reach the spiritual world. Just going to get stuck on some place in the heavenly planets. And just we can't even imagine how many of those there are. Unlimited varieties. Bahu Shaka Hyanantash Cha. Bahu Shaka. So many branches. Prabhupada said it's just like monkey jumping from one branch to another. There are so many branches that you can jump and experience. Unlimited. Banyan tree. And also interconnected. It's just unlimited varieties of sensual facilities that anyone can get lost. Anyone can get lost. So if we lose that focus of our goal, if we lose that aim that we have to actually achieve, and that is Krishna, that is spiritual world, then we'll get stuck somewhere on the heavenly planets. And there's that statement that Srila Prabhupada said, yes, that most of my disciples will end up on the heavenly planets. That's pretty heavy. It's pretty heavy, you know, because now if you're not performing devotional service for pleasure of Krishna, but maybe for something else, that's going to lead us to heavenly planets. Like fruitive chanting, so to say. Chanting for what? To please Krishna or to gain something from that chanting? It's also an offense, you know. So, if you're not focused on that ultimate goal of trying to please Krishna, which for devoted, nothing else is required ultimately. Just the pleasure of Krishna. We know if Krishna is satisfied and pleased, everything else will, you know, be blissful. You know, what does devotee need? The devotee by the nature, it possesses the feminine nature, possesses the feminine energy. And only Krishna is the Purusha. But as long as we consider ourselves to be enjoyer, controller and possessor, then there's no question of being happy even within this kind of circumstance of the all kinds of material facilities. There's no question of that. Because our nature won't get fulfilled. That by the nature as the having the feminine qualities, if we, which the most prominent feature is to be a servant, and if that is not fulfilled, then no living entity can be happy in this world. If everybody just claims, I want to be served, and I want to obtain so many things, and I want to, you know, control so many people, and in this way I'm going to be happy, that's the grandest of delusions. It's never going to happen. There are so many people who have so many things in their lives. There are not so many, but there are few. They have so many, you know, facilities, but they're not happy. There's so many people who control, or maybe they think they control so many others, like some presidents, prime minister, or something. Of course, they're under control of some, you know, whatever, you know, powerful economical leaders, whatever. You know, but even those who think that they control so many others, they're also not satisfied and happy. And then, you know, somebody who tries to enjoy in so many different kinds of ways, have some different kinds of sensual experience. Also, those kind of people, they're not able to achieve satisfaction. Why? Because jiva by nature, you know, have a contrary, you know, completely qualities. And that is not to be served by others. To expect happiness to be served by others, but to serve the others. That is the nature of jiva. To serve. That's our dharma. So if that service is not reposed upon Krishna, there's no question of any kind of happiness. As long as we expect so many things from others, there's no question to achieve any kind of peace and satisfaction. Absolutely impossible. Because we are going contrary to our nature. So when we start serving, when we start appreciating others, relate to with them in such a way, and especially towards Krishna, working together, then we can experience bliss and happiness. And then you see, you can judge who is an advanced devotee, who acts in such a way. That's where the pleasure comes from. But as long as we act in a contrary way, no matter what we can achieve on the material platform, it's just absolutely dissatisfactory. Absolutely. Because again, we are going contrary to our nature. Only Krishna is the Purusha. And He is the enjoyer. He is the proprietor. He is everything. So unless we understand that, You know, there's no question of any kind of progressive experience. So here, when we hear all these different descriptions, which are of course very attractive for the people who follow Karmakanda rituals, and that's why all these heavens are about, like Mahabharata specifically focuses on that, that if you perform certain kind of duties, certain kinds of rituals, then you can be happy and enjoy even in this material world, or karma mimamsas, or whatever. People get very easily attracted by this. They need something to be attracted to. At least that's some level in their progressive path in spiritual life. But that's not the goal and aim in itself. That is, of course, we hear this description, that's not the purpose of Srimad Bhagavatam, to attract people through this kind of descriptions. But this description is just given to give us the idea, to give us some understanding in what kind of circumstances the Gajendra was living, because he was enjoying in those heavenly regions. That later on, the description later on is going to come. And he was completely intoxicated. Completely intoxicated. As Srila Prabhupada would say, being intoxicated by wealth, beauty, Queen Kunti, she said, you know, whoever is intoxicated by any position, wealth, beauty, any kind of opulence, there's not going to be any kind of question of surrendering towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because what is that intoxication? It's just intoxication means just temporary, you know, some excitement, temporary experience that is not going to last. And here in this material universe, everything is temporary. Dukkhalayam ashashvatam. Everything is temporary. So just by possessing something due to some good karma at some moment, it isn't going to bring us any satisfaction. You know, we may think there is some pleasure of obtaining it, but that's just conception within the mind. But it's not going to satisfy the soul. And that's why ultimately everybody is miserable. Only at the heavenly planet, that illusion is so strong, the living entity is so bound by that kind of sensual enjoyment that he wastes his life practically. That's why I said that this planet is such a unique planet, because the ratio of the pleasure and this, you know, and suffering, it's, you know, pretty kind of a proportionate, that, you know, living entity can come to understand the real nature of this material world. Because in the heavenly realms, there's so much of those pleasures available that living entity completely forgets about ultimate aim of life. That's why this planet, even demigods, they pray to those who have, of course, a little higher consciousness, to appear on this planet so that they can be conscious of Krishna and then ultimately go home, back to Godhead. Otherwise it's so intoxicating. So difficult. Like Gajendra, we can see he was completely intoxicated, absolutely intoxicated. And unaware of any, you know, his ultimate destination or the next destination. Completely unaware. So then, you know, something drastic has to happen, and that's only mercy of Krishna when it does happen like this, that somebody wakes up from that kind of intoxicated state. Otherwise, it's almost impossible. You know, why do we need Krishna if we have such a nice, just imagine here, you have such a nice garden and this and that, and everything is wonderful, and you have flowers, like here it has been stated, you know, that yield flowers throughout the whole season. If we would have champa throughout the whole, you know, year, that would be so nice. We wouldn't have to get flowers from anywhere else. And so many other flowers. It's so amazing. But then, how would we think of Krishna? Of course, if we wouldn't use that for Krishna, if we would just think about our sensual experience. So it's very difficult, it's not easy. You know, just all the sights and smells and the touch, and all the senses just get so captivated. And then where is the question of thinking of Krishna? It's so difficult. So that was the position of Gajendra. It's completely lost. Absolutely lost. By the mercy, as we know, by being cursed. Yeah. And anyway, later on as the story unfolds, he received the mercy of Krishna. Ultimately received the mercy. He remembered that one shloka was the big difference. That was the big boon that he in our head, just remembering one verse from his previous life. So what to speak of somebody who is trying to remember so many verses? Yeah. That definitely there is no loss of diminution, as Krishna would say in Srimad Bhagavad Gita. So Gajendra was fortunate in that sense that he did perform some devotional service in his previous life. And this is something that saved him from this most terrifying danger of being within such kind of environment where he completely forgot about Krishna. Completely forgot about Krishna. So this whole description is given so that we also don't fall prey to any kind of allurements of the material energy, which are also so wonderful, but they're just a shadowy form of the real existence or reflected form of the real spiritual nature. So that's something that we have to keep on constantly reminding ourselves. Never fall prey to such kind of a trap that, you know, we can be happy and satisfied in this world, you know. Or maybe, okay, if not on this planet, then maybe on some other place, you know, within the material universe, some higher heavenly planetary systems. But as I said, you can just get lost. Bahu Shaka, just, you know, the unlimited varieties. Lost for lifetimes and lifetimes and lifetimes and lifetimes. And again, never be happy and satisfied because it's not the nature of Jiva to enjoy separately from the Krishna. It just doesn't work. It's impossible. So therefore we have to, all this description given in Srimad Bhagavatam is just there to point out that without Krishna, again, relationship to Krishna, there's no meaning to our existence. And anything that we try to do separately from Him is just going to bring us more misery than anything else. You know, all these endeavors to try to create wonderful facilities. Now, we can't even imagine. It's just, you know, all these Nandan, you know, like we hear about Nandan gardens and this garden, that garden. And demigods have their own different regions where they go sporting and go for different holidays. And, you know, they have a summer house here and there on Mount Meru, and then on they have on Mandara Mountains, you hear of Brahma. Then, I mean, so many different places that they have for their different kinds of sensual enjoyment. But those who are not related to Krishna, don't perform service with that kind of aim of pleasing the Krishna, they get entrapped. They get entrapped. And then therefore they have to come, you know, back to this planet and even assume sometimes the lower species and forms of life. So it's very difficult to focus in such circumstances. Therefore we are fortunate that, you know, on this planet, again, as I said, there is a equivalent amount of happiness and distress so that we can realize that dukkhalayam ashashvatam nature of this material world. Abrahma bhuvana loka punaravartino arjuna mamupetya tukontya punarjanmana vidyate. But in higher planetary systems, it's more difficult. There is only birth and death. Birth that they forget, and death they're not conscious of. They're just not conscious of. There is no disease, you know. There is no old age. Only last moment when they have to leave, and their credit is over, the garland fades, and then they understand, oh, that's it. But it's too late then. Then they fall down. And as they're falling down, it says that the rakshasas, you know, devour their body as they're falling down through the Buvar region. And they, you know, through the tear, you know, the tear enters as through the rain, and then the soul goes like this, appears in the seed, and then again appears on this planet, and so on and so on. It's terrifying. But they don't realize this. Till last moment they try to squeeze out the greatest enjoyment and just try to be, you know, happy in such a material way only. So it's very bewildering. It's very bewildering. So that's why to keep that focus, it's not easy. And the easiest way is to keep that focus of Krishna consciousness and being conscious of, you know, temporary and illusory nature of this material world, no matter how attractive it might appear, it's to remain within the association of the devotees. You know, if we can't remind ourselves, that at least somebody else will remind us. Because we all go through different troubles and tribulations, and, you know, just seeing others and reminding others, at least we'll understand, hey, that's not a place to stay. And of course, that's a lower level. Higher level, it's getting some taste by practice of devotional service. That we don't have to get reminded in such a way, but then, you know, we progress by serving Krishna, developing that taste for devotional life. So this is what here, all these different trees, and as Prabhupada would say, there are not, there are so many different species, two million different kinds of species of plants, you know, that are available, and not all of them are present on our planet. So we can't even imagine what kind of fragrances they are. Like we know Parijata was brought to Dwarka because of Satyabhama and even who was the other? Satyabhama and other queen. They both, one got flower. Rukmini. Yeah, Rukmini got flower, Satyabhama got a tree. So, unimaginable for us what is there just in heavenly planets. So many different kinds of varieties. So that's what I said, it's so bewildering. So bewildering. We can just get lost so easily, so easily. So that's why constantly we have to remind ourselves. And for us, by this being steady. And steady means being practicing Vaidhi Bhakti until we get some taste. And then just naturally that nature of the living entity, as I said, to serve and inspire others to follow devotional service and serve Krishna also, then by that, you know, the living entity will realize its relationship towards Krishna and achieve the greater inconceivable taste, you know, that we won't get distracted by any kind of material opulence that is there within this material world. Okay, so we'll stop here. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments?
Hare Krishna. You were telling about this happiness and distress is equivalent on this planet, and other heavenly planets this disease and old age is not there. So one is that, Is it mentioned somewhere that this is equivalent on this planet, happiness and distress, or is just general understanding? Another thing is that we say that Abrahma Bhuna Loka, so you know everyone has to go through birth, old age, disease and death. But earlier also I had this question today, you know, I remember that how disease and old age they don't have to go through. Then how do we understand that they also go through all four things? Demigods and all.
How do we understand that they don't experience disease and old age?
How do we understand that they do experience this disease and old age?
They don't experience disease and old age. Because it's understand? Not there. They just take birth and they just die. That's it. That's all for them. There is no old age, there is no disease. They just grow very, you know, like from childhood, immediately they grow up within, I don't know, very short span. They're immediately, you know, like capable bodies already ready for any kind of sensual enjoyment. And there's no old age. They just remain, you know, I don't know, the age is not given, but certain youthful age, that's it.
Then this birth, old age, disease and death, this is only for Bhuloka.
This is only for our planet. Only for our planet. Within the whole universe, that's experienced only within our planet, and maybe hellish planetary systems if they have different, they have different methods of experiencing different kinds of sufferings. But in other planetary system, it's not there. Just on our planet.
So then,
within the whole Bhumandala rain region.
Then what is the misery in heavenly planets?
What is the misery? Misery is only when adibautic misery. When the demons come and then they inflict trouble to demigods and, you know, remove them from their posts. That is the misery.
Okay. You want two more questions if I can?
And then adhyatmic sometimes, because when Indra laments of losing the position and so on, so that can compare maybe to adhyatmic. But adhidaivik is not there.
Okay.
One more. It's 9 o'clock almost.
Please, you're telling how excessive heat was not there, excessive cold and such things, because Krishna was pleased. So sometimes if we want to speak this to a new person, then it looks very utopian to him. That
looks what?
Idealistic or like unacceptable, that is.
Okay.
Nature is not giving because we are doing sin. So, or Krishna or God is not pleased because of that, these things are scarce. Then how to explain to a new person?
Well, you always have something that they can relate to. And you can relate how the climate is changing on our planet now because of so many different reasons that humans are, you know, creating by exploiting the planet. So you can see it's changing, it's affecting even nowadays. So then why it wouldn't be, you know, in any sense different earlier, in a positive sense. And they do different kind of research, and they say they also climate sometimes increases, sometimes decreases. That is also there. You know, due to various reasons, they will give the sun, this corona, and this and that, whatever it might be there. So just from that point of view, you know, I don't see what's the problem to accept that the climate is changing.
Yeah.
You know, they did research. They can go to the polar caps. They can, you know, pull their, you know, whatever hollow, you know, poles inside the ice or even in the ground, and they can, at least scientifically, what they accept, you know, they can say that this was the climate at this time, and this was this kind of features were there at this kind of time, and they can give you all that stuff. So if they, you know, if they point out to different differences like this, you know, and they can say there was an ice age, and they can say there was this, there was that, so then what would be difficulty of accepting that there is a different climate at some different time?
My question actually was how to explain to a new person that the climate and scarcity of basic necessities is due to displeasing God.
Oh, displease. Okay, I didn't get that last one. If that person has any little pious inclination, then he will accept statements authoritative from the Shastra. That is there. And if he doesn't, then no matter what you say again, you know, it won't mean much to him. Yeah. So then what's the point of wasting your time? Then you just give him prasadam and say Hari Bol, and that's all.
One small thing that you are telling, that when we are going back to Godhead, so this description is there for us to understand that don't get attracted when you cross heavens. So this we have heard this earlier also. But the question is that if somebody is fully purified, nothing to do with the material world, then only he is now going back. So then there is a question of him getting attracted to the heavenly opulence.
Because you're tatashta, you can always get attracted. That's why I said, as soon as you're not focused on Krishna, you lose that little focus, Maya is there, side by side. You just never know. You can never take a chance. Absolutely never. You have to be always focused, and that's our challenge in devotional life, to be always focused on Krishna. Because even little slight, you know, like walking on the edge or something, little slight, you know, distraction will make you fall down. So that's our challenge in devotional life. Because Maya is Krishna's energy. It's so incredibly attractive. incredibly attractive. So that's the warning for us, that we should never lose that focus, or always try to see through Shastra Chakshu how things are related to Krishna and how things when they are not related to Krishna. That's what kind of result you can get then. So it's always somehow trying to warn us to be careful, to not get distracted. Because you may say in the heavenly planets, Krishna is also worshipped, Krishna is there, this and that, but the mood is different. And then your attitude also towards anything may change, and then you're there. Your desire is fulfilled, and you end up there. So that's what we have to be very cautious of.
Ruji, one devotee was just asking, oftentimes we have heard this, that Prabhupada said, many disciples will land up in heaven. But the devotee was asking me also, and I also did not know, that, you know, have you seen any reference where Prabhupada said this, or conversation, where is it actually? Because I also heard this many times earlier from devotees, but no reference till now I have come across. By chance, if you
we'll look for it. I heard it. Okay. Just repeating it. We can check it out. I don't know. I don't remember. I didn't specifically do the research on that, So check it out. Okay, thank you all very much. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Time's up.